So, Hare Krishna. We're going to read the verse from Bhagavatam 5:18:8. Anyone who's has their Bhagavatam may want to open up to that page. This is the prayers by the inhabitants of Jambadweep. Sri Prahlad apparently lives in Parivash, which is some way up there past the Himalayas. If you've got the ability, you could perhaps go there, like Arjuna did when he was on his expeditions for the Rajasuya. He made it as far as Parivash, but he wasn't allowed entry. He had to turn back. But they gave him tribute. But so there they worship Lord Nrisimhadev. Prahlad and his Daitya followers are worshipping a deity form of the Lord. Lord Nrisimhadev actually lives in Janaloka as well as in Vaikuntha. But he's there in his deity form. Of course, for devotees like Prahlad, he's there in person. So I'm going to read the verse. Om namo bhagavate narasinghaya namaste jas tejase avya arvya pava vadra nakka vadra dangstra kamashayan randaya randaya tamo grasa grasa om swaha abhayam abhayam atmani kuyishta ongshram. You can get the whole benefit of this prayer just by chanting Om Shrum, which is the seed mantra for the prayer. So try and keep that in mind today. So here's the translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that, by your mercy, we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Purport. Devotees always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet can very easily become free from hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you're advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev. So Srila Prabhupada begins the purport by citing this verse from the fourth canto. Prahlad is basically praying to Lord Nrisimhadev to kill our demon-like desires. The Lord is, as Lord Nrisimhadev is famous for killing demons. Lord, of course, he killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. But the real problem we face is the demon-like desires in our heart. And we can't get free of them. Here, the point's made in this purport that the jnanis, the yogis, they cannot stop the waves of sense gratification. So this is the problem. Although they try, you can try by any kind of endeavor. The jnanis performing vast austerities, the yogis with their meditation and everything. But unless we actually surrender to Krishna and seek his protection and mercy, they will never stop the waves of sense gratification. The demon-like desires in the heart are not going to go anywhere. Because if we're engaged in any kind of activity other than surrendering to Krishna, then it's just a selfish act and pounding the problem. It's not going to solve it. So the only way is to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad and pray to Krishna, pray to Lord Nrisimhadev. The Bhagavad Gita makes this clear that Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya durajaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. that the material energy is impossible to overcome. The only way it can be done is by surrendering to Krishna. Anything other than surrendering to the Lord is simply another kind of rebellion. We may want to escape from the miseries of material existence, and we may be smart enough to realize that they are caused by our attempting to enjoy the material energy. Actually, Prahlad himself states that later in the Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, in the 9th chapter. I'll read some of that after. But he makes the point that we cannot be happy as long as we're trying to be happy. As long as we're endeavoring for happiness, we'll never find it. And as soon as we endeavor, as soon as we try to find happiness in this world, our miseries begin. So we may be intelligent enough to have determined that that fact, that my miseries are coming from my attempts to enjoy. They're just the other side of the coin. So let me give that up. You know, and this is the endeavor, as was mentioned in the purport just now, that of the jnanis and the yogis. They're thinking, okay, I've got to give up these material desires because they're giving me nothing but pain. But because they're not surrendering to Krishna, that very desire is itself a material desire. So it's not going to solve the problem. And so here it's stated, Mameva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. Only by surrendering to Krishna. But if we do surrender to Krishna, then it's very easy to get free. So let's talk about how we can surrender. Moving on. So here's some more from the purport of 518.8. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed, fruitive desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. Unless one is completely freed of all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. So yes, every living being has a strong desire to enjoy matter to its fullest satisfaction. So Prabhupada's saying, I understand that this goes with the terrain. If we're here in the material world, we are afflicted by this problem. We want to exploit the world and enjoy it as much as we possibly can. But in order to do that, for this purpose, he says, we have to accept one body after another. And thus our strongly fixed fruitive desires continue. So in every body, we continue with this vain endeavor to enjoy, to satisfy our senses. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. So Prabhupada actually stated that if you even have a pinch of desire, if we're attracted to anything in this world, then we're obliged to take repeated births and deaths. You know, that attraction, obviously, the opposite sex springs to mind as one of the major problems. Opulence, wanting to have wealth, fame, adoration, followers, likes on Facebook, followers on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. These are material desires. And if we have anything like that, if we're attracted to sport, football, boxing, anything that happens to take our interest in this world, is a problem. It's danger. It's actually, we're in peril. As long as we have these fixed, strongly fixed, fruitive desires, we're in a perilous condition. Because if we're obliged to leave our body at any moment, which is always possible in this world, we don't know when that moment has arrived, will arrive. We'll take another birth into another body to continue suffering. Unless one is completely freed of material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. So material desires are caused by ignorance. Ignorance means I don't know what's in my best interests. I think that if I gratify my senses, my mind, and my body, I'll be happy. But of course, as I've just explained, the exact opposite is the case. We simply cause our suffering. So this is the dense darkness of ignorance. So here's some more from that same purport. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amounts of gold. Thus, Hiranyakashipu was the perfect representative of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Nrsingadev killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Nrsingadev, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. So again, we're trapped in the dense darkness of ignorance, pursuing our material desires. What is the solution? Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. So, Prabhupada says he's the perfect representative of materialistic life. So we may not be confronted with Hiranyakashipu in person, but we are confronted with him in terms of our material desires in our heart. So, you know, he epitomizes those desires. Gold and soft beds. So soft beds, we sleep, we enjoy sex life. Gold is the pathway to all kinds of material enjoyment. So these two things are the very key of material existence, of trying to enjoy this world, represented by Hiranyakashipu. So he was slain by the Lord. So we need him to kill those desires in our heart. So this is actual protection. You know, we often approach the Lord for protection when we are struggling in this world. But to ask for protection for the material body is not very intelligent, because the material body cannot be protected. It's impossible. The body is born to die. The body is perched on the precipice of death. It's already in the jaws of death. You know, there's no point. Today or tomorrow, it's going to die. So, I mean, obviously we will, because that's our nature. That's our conditioned nature, that we will turn to the Lord if we're faced with some terrible threat, physical threat. And that's okay. Krishna says, you know, akama, sava karma, moksha karma, dada, dita, vrena, bhakti, yogi. Even if you have all desires, approach me. Better to approach the Lord. Better to seek his shelter than anything else, anyone else. No one else can give us shelter. So, yeah, if we're threatened materially, I'm not saying don't pray to the Lord for protection. Or if our loved ones are in some kind of threat, we're going to pray to the Lord. That's only natural. But when we become a little more thoughtful, we can realize, well, you know, that's not the real problem. The real problem is that I have these desires. And why do I have a body in the first place? Why am I in this perilous condition? Because of my desires. I'm trying to enjoy this world. So unless I get free of those, I'm going to be going back to Krishna again and again. Save me from this. Save me from that. Oh my gosh, save me from that. That's something else, you know. My Lord, save me from this demon or that demon, or, you know, whatever danger that presents itself in this world. And after all, you know, that Mahatpadam, that every step, there is danger in this world. So the answer is not constantly seeking a solution to the self-imposed problems that we face, because we are continuing our material sojourn due to our strongly fixed fruitive desires. We have to get free of those. No one can actually harm us except ourselves. When we think about it, any suffering that is coming our way, why is it coming? What have we done? We've done something. You know, we look around the world, some people are enjoying, some are suffering. Some of them are in a terrible situation. You know, there's so many material situations which are dire and horrible. And why are people in that situation? And why am I right now sitting peacefully and comfortably in my house? And I'm not suffering from that. Because of our own activities, our own past deeds. And it's those that are the cause of our problem. Our own ignorance that has made us act in a way that has brought about our misery. Prahlad actually makes the point that there is no enemy other than the uncontrolled mind. It's our own mind and our own desires, our own material desires, which are causing us to act in ways which result in suffering. So if we want the Lord's protection, then we should be praying in the same way as Sri Prahlad. My dear Lord, kill these demonic desires in my heart. And these are attachments to the body, attachments to family, to wealth, to so many things. And these are very difficult to give up. Very difficult. Even great sages who've gone to the forest, you know, they're still thinking of their material attachments that they can't give up. It's very hard to give these up. It's impossible unless we get the Lord's mercy. Therefore, we have to pray in this way, as Prahlad is exemplifying for us. So let's move on to this. This is further prayers by Prahlad in that same chapter. My dear Lord, we pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees whose only dear friend is Krishna. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. So again, Prahlad is now detailing the problems, specifying the objects of our attachment. And he calls it a prison. May we never feel attraction for the prison of family life. So once we've entered family life, things begin to get more difficult, because it expands. You know, when you're a brahmachari and a sannyasi, you've only got yourself, your body, your own body to worry about. But you become a householder, you've got your wife, your children, now you need money, you've got other relatives, they're all expecting something from you. And of course, you're attached to them. My daughter has just had a daughter, so I now have a granddaughter. So I'm realizing the truth of this, you know, this little granddaughter, and, you know, oh, she's so cute, she's so nice, and, you know, it's just this another material attachment has appeared on the scene in my life. And so, you know, these things are difficult to give up. How can you give them up? Most people don't even try. Even devotees, we think, well, you know, what can I do? It's just, you know, but we're going to, you know, if we have that desire, if we still have those attachments in our heart, we'll be coming back again. We'll be taking another body. So here Prahlad says, a person who is actually self-realized and has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. So, okay, this is the self-realized soul. It's not easy, for us to be satisfied in such a way. But we should try to keep things simple. Don't try to increase our material opulence as much as we can. If we can keep it very simple, then we won't become overly attached, because these attachments are distractions. Here Prabhupada says, I understand, he says here, that others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult, because we're constantly distracted by our material attachments, by the family, by the endeavor to get money, to get a job and to work and to, survive in this material world. So it's very difficult to make a spiritual advancement in the face of all these things. Therefore, Prahlad is praying, my dear Lord, may we never feel attraction for them. He's praying, he's surrounded here in Harivash by all his, by many, many daichas who became his followers. As we know, in his pastime, he preached to all his classmates when he was in the school of Sundar and Namaka, and they all became devotees. And they're all with him now in Harivash. So he's got quite a lot of them there. So let's move on. This is from the purport of that verse. When Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested to explain the duty of a Vaishnava, a Krishna-conscious person, he immediately said, Asat Sangha Tyag, a Vaishnava Achar. The first business of a Vaishnava is to give up the association of persons who are not devotees and who are too attached to material things, wife, children, bank balance, and so on. Prahlad Maharaj also prays to the personality of Godhead that he may avoid the association of non-devotees attached to the materialistic way of life. So he's praying to be free of attachment. As I mentioned, he's actually preaching to his followers there, all these daichas who are very attached. It's described, they actually live, as well as those that are in Harivash, most of them reside in the lower planets, Patala Loka, Atala, Sutala, Vitala. Down there, it's very heavenly, very lush and opulent, and more so than even Swarga. And it's described in the Bhagavatam that they're extremely attached to material life. So he actually prays. He says, "Oh daichas, oh demons, give up these attachments." So he's, he's specifying that attachment to the family and to the to home, wealth, and everything, bank balance, are, deeply rooted in the heart, and we need to ask the Lord for his help to get free of them. Asat Sangha Tyag e Vaishnav Achar. And this was the instruction also of Lord Chaitanya, to give up Asat Sangha. Asat Sangha means anything which is averse to Krishna consciousness, which takes us away from Krishna. And that, of course, is the association of persons who are not devotees. That means taking their association, not, when we go out and preach, obviously, but when we are absorbing their katha, absorbing their influence. And that can come from their direct association, or it can come via news, movies, books, television, the internet, social media. We're surrounded by it. I mean, it was always that way. It's not that it's any more difficult now than it ever was. The real difficulty lies in our own heart. Even if we didn't have all these distractions, we would have then, usually in Shastra it talks about Gramya Katha, your village talk. So people would just, go around and hang out with their mates and things and just pass away the time talking nonsense, doing nonsense, playing and things like that. So all that comes about because of our own deep-rooted desires. So now we have easy access to it. It's right there in the palm of our hand. But it's a problem. So the first business of a Vaishnava is to give up this, to give up the association, Asat Sangha. So Prahlad is is asking that we become free of that. He actually, in the last verse, he said, if we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees whose only dear friend is Krishna. So effectively, we have to transfer these attachments, purify them, spiritualize them, change them from matter to spirit. So here, Prahlad is explaining how to do that. By associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is the all-in-all, one can hear of his powerful activities and soon come to understand them. The activities of Mukunda are so potent that simply by hearing of them, one immediately associates with the Lord. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, in the form of sound vibrations, enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contamination. So instead of asatsanga, we want satsanga, sadhu sangha. So that's possible. Just as it's very easy for us to get asatsanga right there in the palm of our hand, or you know, in front of us on the screen, we can also get the association of the sat, of the sadhus, by hearing about the Lord's all-powerful activities. And we have so much opportunity for that now. We have our smartphones, and we can download so many things that we can hear. There's a very nice app now called MyBVL, which I've been hearing, and it has all of the books of Srila Prabhupada with the purports as an audiobook, as audiobooks. So you can have that playing and hear that. And we hear about the activities of Mukunda, of the Lord. They're so powerful, so potent, that they give us the Lord's association. This is the wonderful thing. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we are associating with Narad Muni, with Uddhava, with Vidura. We're actually getting their personal association with Lord Brahma, with you know, all of the gods, and with Krishna himself, with Vishnu. They're all there on the pages. They're speaking. They're giving us their association. How wonderful is that? And by getting their association, by hearing of them and from them, the personality of Godhead in the form of sound vibration enters within the heart and cleanses it of all contamination. So this is how we can actually practically get the Lord's protection, get the Lord's, the Lord's help to free us of our material desires. Because we're praying to Krishna. Sometimes we are in a sorely afflicted condition, and we turn to him, oh Lord, help me please, I'm suffering so much. But the Lord has helped us. He's come. He's here. He's present in Bhagavatam, in the Gita, and in the words of his pure devotee. In the words of Prahlad, we get Prahlad's association. We're getting his association in the Bhagavatam. And we get the association, of course, of Srila Prabhupada in his purports. So the Bhagavatam explains, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hiryantax Dohya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam, that by hearing the auspicious, about the Lord's auspicious activities, the heart is purified and we are freed of all contamination, of these strongly fixed fruitive desires that are in the heart, these the dense darkness of ignorance. So, but also it's, you know, Prahlad explains that it's not easy. We face a problem. Here we see later in the Bhagavatam, in the seventh chapter, The ninth chapter of the Bhagavatam is when Prahlad was offering prayers to Lord Nrisingadev after everyone else had tried to pacify him. And he was still growling. Prabhupada said he was groaning. He was growling. He was still sitting there. He was very, very angry. So the only person who could ultimately pacify him was Prahlad. And he does so in these incredible prayers in this ninth chapter of the seventh canto. Prabhupada really liked this chapter. He gave many classes from this chapter. You can find them on Prabhupada Vani on the website. All the classes are there. So he gave some wonderful classes on this chapter. And these are astonishing prayers that Prahlad offers to Lord Nrisimhadev. So here's one of them. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become polluted, most polluted, and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? So, we know the answer is to hear and especially discuss the activities of the Lord, which I'll talk about a bit in a moment. But we have no attraction for it. Why? Because the mind is sinful and lusty. It seems a bit of a double bind, a bit of a paradox, that the answer to our problem of lust and sin, of material desires in the heart, is to hear about Krishna. But because of the problem, we have no taste for that and no interest in that. Rather, we think money will solve our problems. The mind is always seeks more and more money. So, this is a big problem. We're thinking, okay, I'm in a difficult material situation. Let me make some material adjustment and things will be better. But there's no solution. We can't make any material adjustment. In fact, we've already, whatever happiness or distress we're due to experience in this life is fixed. We can't change that. It's already determined at the point of our birth. Tasyaiva hetak prayateta kovida na labhite yat brahmatam upariyada. That Narad Muni explains that sukha and dukkha are already determined at the time of death. We cannot change that. It's going to come by destiny. So don't over-endeavor for material things. Keep it simple. As it was said earlier, be satisfied with the necessities. Whatever's going to come your way will come. Some people we find they work hardly at all and they're millionaires. Others are striving so hard and they barely survive. So that's, out of our control. So especially, don't let that endeavor, prevent you from doing your sadhana, from hearing and chanting about Krishna. Okay, we have no attraction. We have no desire for that. But we must know that this is the solution. This is the medicine. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give the analogy of a person who has jaundice and therefore he doesn't like sugar. He doesn't like sugar candy. But sugar candy is apparently the cure for jaundice. And it tastes horrible. When you have jaundice, it tastes bitter. But when you keep taking it, gradually you get cured and then it becomes sweet. So initially we don't have a great deal of attraction, but we must somehow insert this into our life. Prabhupada said, mold your life in such a way that you can hear and chant about Krishna, and that will gradually free us. So, and we can also offer these wonderful prayers, because Prahlad is helping us here by giving us these wonderful prayers that we also can offer to Krishna, so that he'll help us to be able to keep our material desires in check, at least as enough so that we can engage in some hearing and chanting on a regular and systematic daily basis. We should not sacrifice our sadhana for the sake of trying to increase and improve our material situation. Hear the Bhagavatam. And when we do that, here he says, my mind is full of lamentation and fear. It always seeks more and more money. And the Bhagavatam says, we should hear and chant, obviously, in that purport, actually, Srila Prabhupada talks a lot about the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And that's very important. Of course, we know that. We must do that. We all do that. Most of us are committed to that. 16 rounds every day. But it isn't just that. We also should be engaging in hearing Bhagavatam and Gita, as we are now, all of us here. So we've understood that. And that's also extremely important, to discuss the Lord's activities. And Prabhupada makes that point here in the second canto. When we speak of hearing and chanting, it means that not only should one chant and hear of the holy name of the Lord as the Maha Mantra, but one should also read and hear the Gita and the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. So this is a key element of our sadhana that we must also incorporate into our lives, that we hear and chant together, and we discuss the wonderful activities of the Lord in the association of devotees. This is very important. And by doing so, here we see, the Bhagavatam tells us that the result is going to be yasyaṁ vai śrīmānayam kṛṣṇe paramapuruṣe bhaktiya upajjate pumsa śoka moha bhayāpahā. So Prahlad was saying that the mind is full of lamentation and fear, shoka, bhaya. So by hearing the Bhagavatam, by introducing this Bhagavatam into our lives, by regularly associating with the Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens? Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of shoka, moha, and bhaya, of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. Srimad Bhagavatam is very powerful and very potent, and it can destroy all of these unwanted things. And if we come together as devotees and we sit down and we associate with the Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing it together, then we will gradually become free of fear. First of all, we'll begin to understand some of these key points that it's making, that we should not be endeavoring for material enjoyment. As long as we're doing that, we're simply going to suffer. We should not be trying to increase or trying to adjust our material situation, because as long as we're trying to do that, we're simply distracting ourselves vainly for no point, no purpose. There's not going to be any result of that. So these points, we'll understand them. We have to hear these points. My experience is we have to hear them repeatedly. We very quickly forget them when we're not constantly engaging in hearing and chanting. Hearing and repeating. Discussing Bhagavatam means we repeat these points. The best way to assimilate something is to repeat it. When we've heard it, we repeat it in to others. This is Shravanam Kirtanam. Kirtanam doesn't just mean chanting the holy name. It also means reciting Bhagavatam and Gita. It also means speaking the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam, giving our understanding of them. So this is a wonderful process that will really help us to become more fixed in spiritual consciousness, giving oral reception and solidifying that by discussing, by repeating, by speaking in the association of devotees. So here's another prayer from Prahlad. My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person with many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. The tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more, and the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side, the restless eyes, are attracted to scenes of sense gratification, and the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. So this is our embarrassing condition. We have no attraction to Krishna Katha, but we have plenty of attraction to the material energy, which Prahlad compares to like someone with numerous wives, all sort of pulling him in different directions. This analogy comes up a few times in the Bhagavatam. The tongue, the genitals, the skin, the belly, the ears. Prabhupada talks about cinema songs. Back in the day when he wrote this, that's all there was really as a diversion in India. Music was the cinema songs, but now, of course, we've made a whole industry out of it. So there's all kinds of attractive music attracting our ears. We want to enjoy our senses. So this is embarrassing. He calls this our embarrassing condition. So, to get out of this, we must take the medicine of hearing and chanting, the holy name and the Bhagavatam and the Gita. Here we see in the next verse, Prahlad explains, the Supreme Lord within everyone's heart becomes very pleased when a person hears narrations of his activities, and he personally cleanses the dirt from the mind of the listener. Kridyantaksto hyabhadrani vidunoti. He washes off all dirt from the mind. Material existence is caused by dirty things within the mind. If one can cleanse his mind, he immediately comes to his original position of Krishna consciousness, and thus his life becomes successful. Therefore, all the great saints in the devotional line very strongly recommend the process of hearing. So again, the point is made that material existence is caused by dirty things within the mind. As I mentioned, Prahlad says that the only enemy we face is the uncontrolled mind, our own ignorance. That's the danger. That's the only danger we face. We don't face any other danger because it's our ignorance which is going to cause us to remain in material life, confronted by so many different problems. And the solution here, the Lord within the heart, he becomes pleased. So when we sit down together and we discuss his glories and his pastimes, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, he likes that. He's very pleased by that. He actually says, I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm present where my devotees are discussing my glories. So how does he reciprocate? By cleansing the dirt from the mind. He personally does that. Only he can do that. There's no other way it can be done. He will do that for us. And as the dirty things in the mind are gradually diminished, our fierce attraction for material existence begins to subside. And we become a little more attracted to him, a little more attracted to hearing about his glories, to hearing from his pure devotee. We spiritualize our attractions, our attachments rather. We transfer our attachments from spirit to matter by this process of hearing. This is how we do it to get free. The whole problem is we're turned away from Krishna. We're turned towards the material energy. So we have to turn back. And the way we turn back is by hearing about the Lord. The Lord and his katha, anything about the Lord is equal to him, is non-different from him. And that brings us back to our original position, our natural position. He immediately comes to his original position. So our unnatural position is to be attracted to the material energy. That's actually a false condition for the living entity. Our natural position is to be attracted to him. So it's like the mirror is completely covered in dust and dirt. So it doesn't look very shiny, but its natural condition is to be very shiny. So we just have to clean off all the dirt. When the dirt is gone, we shine in our original glory. So here we have, in a nutshell, in the Bhagavatam,
process is given again by Prahlad in this same chapter. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed. And loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. In this way, simply by hearing of the powerful activities of the Lord, the devotee's heart becomes almost completely cleansed of material contamination, and thus his original position as an eternal servant, who is part and parcel of the Lord, becomes manifest. So regularly hearing, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Nityam. So, you know, obviously we want to get to 24/7, but that's going to take a little time. But initially, systematically, therefore Prabhupada, you know, said by hearing, by regularly attending classes on the Bhagavatam, in one translation, because of the verse in Nasta Prayeshu Abhadrisham Bhagavata Sevaya, that by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam. So he scheduled it into our lives that every day there would be the hearing of Bhagavatam, so, and the Gita. So that should not be neglected. We can do that. Of course, in the temple, it's there for you. It's laid on. You just have to make your way to the temple room. But, you know, we should also do that. Even if we're not in the temple, we can also do that by sitting down together and discussing the Bhagavatam, by hearing and discussing the Bhagavatam. We should, every single day, we should do that. As I said earlier, we shouldn't let our busy, hectic schedule, overcome that. That because we're always trying to get more and more money or adjust our material circumstances so that things will be a little better than they are. We find we don't have any time for hearing and chanting, but that's a very big mistake. We're just going to compound the problem, increase our suffering, as long as we do that. So therefore, somehow mold your life. Mold it so that you find even 20 minutes, half an hour, that you can do this. And it's not difficult. You know, it's very enjoyable. Even if there's just one other person in your life, you can sit down with that one person. I do this every single day with my wife. Twice a day, we sit down, we discuss the Bhagavatam in the morning, and we discuss the Gita in the evening. And it's, you know, sometimes we're hard-pressed for time, so it might only be 20 minutes. Other times, there's more time, so it can be an hour. We're actually starting to make some videos of our discussions, which we're posting on a website. I shall give you the link shortly, that you can have a look at to see how easy it is and hopefully get some inspiration to do this, to incorporate this into your lives. And you'll feel the difference very quickly. It makes such a difference. As well as our chanting, of course, that has to be there. If we can add this as well, this regular systematic discussion of Bhagavatam and Gita, you'll experience a wonderful change. The dirty things in the mind will be gradually cleansed, and your real nature, your original position as the Lord's eternal servant, will gradually become manifest. So we have to stop bang on 9 o'clock today because there is an Abhishek. Here's the link, by the way, to the website where you can find the videos and things I was talking about. But I'm going to pause here. I'm going to stop here and invite anyone if they have any questions, points, or corrections. Please go ahead. Thank you very much.